going to read from John chapter 6, where we have the key verse for this evening. John 6, verse 32. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Let's pray once more, and then we'll think about that for a few minutes. Father, we thank you for fellowship together this evening. We thank you for the communion time, for the bread and for the cup and for what they mean, and the opportunity to reflect upon you. And we thank you for your word. And as we just pause to think about this saying of yours, Lord Jesus, we do pray you would help us to understand a little more. And I pray very much you'd help me to explain a little more what you're saying in these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel the main purpose this evening was to come around the table, was to think about what Jesus has done for us. And indeed, as we have worked it out, the main purpose was to be able to have a sense where the body of Christ, thinking about different things happening, one with the other, and just wanting to share together and open our hearts together to one another and for those around us and those immediately beside us who have a need of the grace of God tonight. Jesus made this statement, "I am the bread of life." And Jesus knew that he had come to bring life, eternal life, to those who would trust in him. Now, as far as the ordinary people would be concerned, perhaps today we would say to have bread, to have food, you need food in order to live. If you never ate, you wouldn't survive. You would eventually grow very weak and you would die. But we know that Jesus, in his love for us and our physical well-being, has provided in many, many ways. And we see that in the ministry of Jesus. And as far as literal bread is concerned, we see that when he had taught them for a very long time, perhaps many hours of the day, that he was interested to feed them before they went home so that they didn't collapse on the way. I can promise you that what you're hearing tonight will be so short that you won't need a meal before you go home. However, there might be a snack, a biscuit or two to sustain you. But that's really how it came about. There was nothing unduly profound about it. It was a very practical thing. People get tired if they're listening for a long time. I do realize some people get tired listening for a very short time, but never mind. But generally speaking, you know, if someone is sharing, and remember Jesus would have shared for a very, very lengthy time, the people would become weary, they would become tired. And of course, the other factor in terms of Jesus' care and awareness was the fact that some people had traveled a very long way to be in the place where he was ministering. So it wasn't just the length of time of the messages that he brought, but it was very much just down-to-earth practicalities. They have got quite a journey before they get home. And they don't want anyone fainting on the way. Therefore, there will be this provision. And we know that in the compassion of Jesus, he saw physical needs, he saw the needs of the sick. And that ministry was so, so compelling to people who could never afford to go to a doctor, if they could find one, who would find really that sicknesses, illnesses that we would say today could be relatively easily cured, where there was no medicine, where there was no antibiotic, where there was no medical advice whatsoever, something that's humdrum to us could be a killer to people living at the time of Jesus. And therefore, he reaches out to touch them in their need. And of course, we hear the stories of the blind, the deaf, those who are lame, unable to walk. And Jesus addressed those needs. But always in the heart of Jesus was the fact that the spiritual need is deeper, more significant, much more profound to handle than any physical need. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." So, yes, I won't be oblivious to the fact that you're hungry. I won't be oblivious to the fact that you're handling divers diseases and all sorts of illnesses. Jesus says, I'm not going to ignore that. I'm not going to pretend that doesn't matter. It does matter. It has an impact on lives. But what I'm most concerned about is that you find food for your soul. Because we know that someone can be ill one day, they may be wonderfully cured, but a few days down the road, or a few weeks or months, or maybe a few years, they can be sick again. But what Jesus was interested in was addressing a need that once met, that would be it forever, eternal life. And therefore, the forgiveness of sin, peace with God, being reconciled to oneself as well as reconciled to others, this is something that only Jesus is able to do. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who seeks after me will never thirst. Now, just thinking of it in a very sort of simple way, most of us would say you shouldn't eat standing up. Most people would say you shouldn't eat running along the road. And therefore, one of the rules, if you like, would be that you sit at the table. Now, I know with our children today, getting them to sit at all is a challenge. But generally speaking, you say sit at the table. But when we come to Jesus, what we're saying is if we're to feed on him, there must be a place of rest. You've got to give time. You know, you can't be spiritually fed just dashing around. We've got to make that space and that time to sit at the feet of Jesus, open our Bibles, pray, spend time pausing, thinking, meditating in order to feed from him. I am the bread of life. Jesus is saying, you can get nourishment from me. You can get truth from me. You can get support from me. You can get help from me. But you do need to wait upon me and to hear what I'm going to say to you. Jesus is the bread of life in the sense that he feeds us according to our needs. And therefore, it means that those with great appetite can be fed and those whose appetite is smaller. We know, I mean, you know that our youngest grandson now, Rocco, and we know that to serve him a steak at this moment of time would not be very nourishing. He needs to be fed things in a form and a substance, whatever, that's really going to do him good. But, you know, sometimes we don't really know how to feed ourselves spiritually, and sometimes we certainly need some guidance as to how to feed others. You don't, as it were, throw a theological loaf at somebody who's just come to Christ and say, chew on that. But you know, a good mum, if she's going to serve bread, literal bread, you'll cut it up. And you'll cut it up to the size, to the portion, not being mean, but what will be helpful. And we need that sometimes. We may spiritually snack, and there's not necessarily anything wrong in that. And yet at the same time, if we are only living on a spiritual slack, that is a problem. And therefore, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, come to me, I will feed you. I will feed your soul. I'll feed the deep inner you. I will give you a sense of purpose, well-being, a sense of direction in your life as I feed you, but you do need to receive what I'm giving you. And you don't just pick and choose, and you don't just take little bits. Sometimes we've got to be prepared for a substantial meal, to chew on it, to reflect on it, to actually, in some depth, take it away. This is one of the reasons why many of us, when we became Christians, were encouraged to memorize Scripture. I don't know how far you can go back in your minds, whether some of you can go back to a Sunday school experience where you may have felt it was a bit embarrassing, but you were hauled to the front of the church to give the memory verse for the week or whatever. I know one or two churches where I visit and the children are there and they deliver what is the verse for this week, and some of them can deliver it in perfect language English, and some of it they just get the gist of it. But it is important that we do learn to memorize Scripture. You know, it's just remarkable how some of our brothers and sisters who are in the persecuted church are still getting sustained, being fed by tiny portions of Scripture that come to their memory. And they are meditating upon them. They would take perhaps all of the I ams of Jesus in John's Gospel. They may take some of the miracles. They may take some of the parables. And they go over them in their mind, looking to Jesus to feed them. Another thing about feeding is not just the memory. It's good to use the memory. It's good to get a collection of Scripture. The Gideons, of course, do this ever so well. If you go into a hotel and you found a Gideon Bible, there's a great list of what to do if, and there's all these situations that are addressed. It's very helpful. It's not exhaustive, but it covers a lot of ground. But sometimes we do need to also use our imagination in a godly way. And so sometimes you can feed on Scripture by taking perhaps, say, a miracle. You could take a miracle and imagining what it would have been like to be there. And I think that can be very helpful. Of course, as you know, I had the opportunity to go to Israel. So my imagination is greatly charged by actually seeing some of the places. So I can imagine the wedding at Cana because I've been to Cana. Obviously, the original wine that was made by Jesus is long gone. But one's been there. I've been on the Sea of Galilee. And being on the Sea of Galilee, the opportunity just to reflect for a moment what it would have been like when you can look around. It's very small, comparatively small. And you can imagine a storm brewing up. And what it would have been like to be overwhelmed, to be fearful that you're going to drown because it's all happened so incredibly quickly. To be at the feeding of the 5,000. Can you imagine? I mean, it's a job to get you to sit to the front. Can you imagine what it was like to get 5,000 people sitting in groups of 50? I think that's a pretty logistical nightmare for the disciples. I don't know how long it took, but there was a reason for the structure. And can you imagine the fact that these people, we want you lot to sit there. No, sit there, I said. And to move around, organizing this great crowd. But why were they doing that? It's very simple. Because they wanted everyone to be fed. I remember when I started to distribute Bibles in Kenya, I made the grave mistake of suggesting if anyone would like a Bible, come to me. And, I didn't disappear under a pile of Bibles, but certainly one was besieged by considerable numbers. And therefore, you had to find a way of distributing these Bibles, which meant that those who needed them got them, rather than see somebody walk off with five Bibles and there wasn't enough for someone who really needed one. But sometimes, just picturing these events, can you imagine being the company of that man who was blind from birth, and there he is sitting there day after day. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have perhaps walked by this man many times? And then one day you say, where is he? He's not there anymore. Why? Why is he not there? Well, he can see now. So he's not sitting around waiting, begging anymore. His eyes have been opened. Sometimes picturing these stories, sometimes taking these stories into our hearts and thinking about the impact upon people's lives. And of course, when we come to the communion time, again, we need to be wise. We don't want just to get emotional as such, but to hear Jesus, that cry, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So feeding on Jesus, I am the bread of life. Yes, we feed on him by reading his word. We feed on him by memorizing his word. We feed on him by visualizing his word. We feed on him by allowing ourselves to take the chunks that we need at the time that we need it. You know, these calendars which have a verse for every day can be very useful. If you gave me a couple of crumbs a day and said that's what you're eating today, I would probably very quickly tell you that that isn't sufficient. And yet, on the other hand, sometimes something small can be very edifying if it's just there to tide you over. Getting into the Word of God into your hearts. Of course, we're blessed that we can have CDs and DVDs and all the songs, especially those centered on the Word of God, those that are putting scripture to music, and often these days a music that we're perhaps more attuned to in terms of culture, in terms of custom. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What I'm about is feeding you with that which is good for you, feeding you with that which will truly nourish you, that you won't come back after 5 minutes, that you will find what I give you brings a satisfaction and a strength to your life that no one else can bring. As we live in days where increasingly the Word of God is not valued, where people have no regard for it, it's very important that we maintain as a church a high regard for God's Word, for Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus knew, even though he had full of compassion, he wanted to help those people get home safe after listening and after their long journey. But Jesus knew very well that there was the real danger that people might come back and see him the next day, not because they wanted to be taught, but because they wanted a free meal. So in everything we do as the people of God, we do want to bless. We do want our food banks. We do want our space at the table. All of those things, we are demonstrating compassion and a real understanding that people have needs. But why we do things in the church differently to upteen socially welfare-minded people with a good heart, why we do something different is we share the word of God because we know that having received God's word, they can have eternal life. They can have something that will sustain them, not just for a few minutes or even a few hours, but sustain them into eternity. Amen. Right. We're going to close by saying the grace together. Shall we do that? Perhaps you'd like to stand.